Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Paul's Letter to the Ephesians, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about that letter to the churches in Ephesus. My name's Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. And I've been a minister for over 30 years, and I wonder about a lot of things. So Monday through Friday, I will be wondering my way through Ephesians, a little bit at a time. I don't have notes, and I'm only using the tools that come immediately to mind. There may be greater historical truth with more study, but it's been my experience that as I wonder, I can begin to hear what God is saying to me right here and right now, about right here and right now, as opposed to a history lesson. I want to learn something about my life and the world that I live in. So I'm hoping that you might have the same kind of experience as we wander together. Drew Winters provided the music, isn't it great? And I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes. But every once in a while, even if the letter is short, I might go a couple minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or, even easier, you can find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, now let's see what Paul has to say to the Ephesians, and more importantly, what God might be saying to us. Today we're in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. I've just taken a small bit. I know some of you who are familiar with Ephesians are going, ha ha, you coward, because 22 forward gets a little more interesting, and I'm going to save that for Monday. And there's lots to think about right now, frankly. So yesterday we heard Paul basically telling the Ephesians, and therefore telling us, anyone who hears this letter or reads this letter, to live in the light and not in the shadows, in the dark, is how he put it. And to live in the light of Christ, not in the shadows of, well, of pagan ways, of the Gentiles, of the world, basically. And then comes this. So let's see what happens as he continues. So it's Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to call it right there. Well, Paul seems to be carrying on from where he was yesterday and the day before. As we were reading it, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. He also talks later about giving thanks to God the Father at all times. And I'm remembering, I haven't looked this up today, but I'm going to tell you that I'm right. Two words in Koine Greek that you could use for time. One basically refers to the time of day. What time is it? 4:20. Okay, that's time. There's also that sense of a specific moment. Now is the time to speak my truth. Now is the time for us to do this thing. Now is the time to change direction. Now is the time for dinner. So there's about a specific time, not general time. And Paul uses the specific time word. So we talk about making the most of time, and we also talk about giving thanks to God the Father at all times. And you know, when you hear it at all times, it's like, well, okay, so basically I should be living in gratitude all of the time. and I should be making the best use of all of my times. And you go, well, that makes perfect sense. Of course, don't waste a moment and live in gratitude always. It's a good message. And Paul could have used the other version of time to convey that. So I'm not saying he's not saying that, but the use of specific time gives me the sense of paying attention for moments, for pivotal moments, whether that's in your life or in community. At least that's how I'm thinking about it. Make the most of the time. When those opportunities come around, don't miss them. That's what I'm hearing in that. So it's not just making use of all my time, but it's looking for those moments. And those moments do come by. And sometimes you know that they're there. I was having this discussion yesterday, actually. It doesn't really matter the whole context. But we were talking about a lovely person that we both knew who died some years ago. And I remember very specifically, she had moved out of town. And I happened to be in her town on the way to see somebody else. And on the way, I thought, you know what? I need to go in and see Mrs. Soames. I'm just going to knock on her door and say hi. That's all I'm going to do. She was living in a seniors facility. And so I stopped. I went in to say hi. And lo and behold, she was actually there in the lobby waiting to be picked up. By family. She was going to go spend the weekend with her daughter and grandchildren and all that kind of stuff. And so, it was so good to see her and good to see me. And now we big hug, talk for about 3 or 4 minutes, great big kiss, and on she went. And she died that night. Now, I'm not saying that God sent a little tingle down my spine to go and see my friend. I mean, if I had not gone, nobody would have noticed. So say she'd moved out of our community. I would see her every now and again when I was in town, but not very often. And she had no expectation, so nobody would have said, "Oh, you missed your chance." And I'm not saying, as I said, I'm not saying that sort of God sent a little tingle in my spine. What I'm saying is that while I was there in town and I wasn't in a rush, and I thought, you know what? I should just do this thing. There was a moment. This is the time to go and see my friend. And because I took that time, we had a lovely moment. And when I heard of her passing the next day, I was not bereft. I was actually pleased. I was so glad that I had taken the time to pop in and say hello. I think that what Paul is telling us is that we need to be taking advantage of those moments because we don't always recognize them. But I do tell any student I've ever supervised, any minister I've ever mentored, you know, when you get a feeling, go with it. Just go with it. Again, I'm not saying that an angel's whispering in your ear. I'm not saying that God is sending you that tingle. I'm just saying you have a feeling and go with it because you're walking into a time, into a moment. And you know what? Maybe 25 of those moments you walk into, nothing happens. You don't, and you forget that you ever sort of had an impulse and did it. But 5 times, you'll be right, and you will never forget those times. For me, what I'm hearing Paul say is just be aware that there are times, not just general time, there are moments, and we should be open and aware of them and looking for them. Whether that's a conversation with somebody that normally you just pass by, whether that's to sit down for a moment with a friend, whether that's to volunteer for something that I don't think I can really do that, but I am sort of interested. It's seizing that moment. It's making the most of that time because those moments, those times, for me anyway, have proven they're moments that will change my faith, change my life, embolden my faith. I'm going through in the back of my mind right now, and I'm thinking of so many times that I am so glad that I seized that moment when I could have just gone on. And I am quite sure that there are a number of times that I have just gone on and I've missed those moments. But I hear Paul saying, yeah, be aware that there are pivotal moments. We're not just living sort of in this stream of time. No, there are points of light, and we should be looking for them, those moments. That's kind of what I'm getting. Now, the old classicist in me, a history of Greek literature, Greek philosophy, Greek history, Greek language, all that stuff, having done my initial formal education in that area, the classicist in me is listening to these words going, oh, okay, so you know what? I think Paul's talking about Bacchanals. So for the Ephesians, for the Greek world, Bacchus was a big draw. Bacchus was a god, and there's a cult of Bacchus filled with revelry. They drank. They ate. You may have seen like a Bacchanal celebration like Mardi Gras. Like it's just a time that everything is unleashed, and they were popular. And I think that Paul has a problem with them. I think Paul, without naming Bacchus or Bacchanals, that's what he's talking about. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. That's new to me. I didn't realize that. I mean, no, you shouldn't get drunk, but to equate that immediately to debauchery. I mean, the early church was looked down upon because they were drunk all the time, drinking and eating. Again, overstatement, but Paul is sort of doing the same thing. If you're drinking, then that's debauchery. Now, Paul is also saying to get drunk, so you know there is a measured way, I suppose, of doing it. But just the way he says it. Just equating that drinking with a debauchery just makes me think of a Bacchanal. And so I think that Paul is saying, like, don't do that. And I have to believe that in Ephesus, in the Gentile world, that was still a big draw because Bacchanal is fun, right? It's a great big party. There's drinking, there's sex, there's just wild abandon. You just let go of all of your inhibitions and you just let your feelings and emotions guide you, and boy oh boy does that ever sound like fun. And Paul's going, that's not fun. Stop it. Don't do it. And by the way, we're somewhat aware, like, you know, in a Bacchanal in those days and even today, people are dancing around and they look ridiculous. So do not be foolish. I don't think Paul is talking about do not have faulty wisdom. Don't be naive. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying do not just don't make a fool of yourself. Don't look stupid. Don't participate in Bacchanal. Where you're gonna get drunk and there's the debauchery. Don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit and sing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, right? Not that Bacchanal stuff. Not that crazy, wild rock and roll. No. Parlor music. But I think Paul is always wrestling with control. Paul has troubles controlling himself. Again, I don't know what that means exactly, what the control issues are, but I do think they're there. So he's very keen on giving control of his life over to God. I get it. But again, as I've said a couple times in the last few days, I think Paul assumes that we are all the same as he is. So he is preaching to himself and imagining he's preaching to all of us. But in fact, some of us may have more balanced and measured lives than Paul imagines. So, some of us can handle rock and roll. Some of us can go to a Mardi Gras festival and not lose ourselves in it or betray our faith. But some of us can't. And I think that's important to recognize that. So we need to be aware of each other. And that's where the last line strikes me too. Gosh, I'm turning this into a sermon. Didn't mean to. But the last line that I read to you, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to tell you now that the translation I grew up with said, be subject to one another out of fear of the Lord. I like reverence for Christ better. In respect of your faith, be subject to one another. Now, Paul does like to speak with authority. In fact, he insists at times that people respect his authority. Corinthians is one of them. 2 Corinthians, I don't know. Doesn't matter, but Paul does. So when Paul says be subject to one another, it's hard to know exactly what he means. Because there are times that Paul expects the Christian community to be subject to what he says. He is subject to what the mother church, basically, the council in Jerusalem, say. And he gets that. So what does he mean when he says be subject to one another? I mean, if I'm subject to you and you're subject to me, then nobody has authority. So how do we decide, right? How do we decide what to do? And if we don't agree, how do we make that work? We'll have a vote. We'll make it a democracy. Not a popular concept at the time. But let's say we did that. Fine, so we have a vote. But now the minority is still going to be subject to the majority. But you're not supposed to be. We're subject to one another. It's because I've heard people read this and say, therefore, we should just be without any kind of hierarchy, without any kind of authority. We're all in this together. And I respect the desire of that. I don't think that's what Paul is talking about. And I think in many ways it becomes impractical. Everybody has roles to play. But what I think Paul means here when he says be subject to one another is to not lord ourselves over one another. Basically, don't judge one another. So when I mentioned there are some people who can handle Bacchanal and rock and roll music and have a great time, but there are some who don't. Don't think you're a better person because you can handle it. Don't think you're a better person because you refuse to go. No. Be subject to one another. Just recognize that nobody has authority over anybody when it comes to relationship with God, when it comes to our moral dealings. Now, that'll be trouble for Paul in the rest of his letters and even in this letter. Paul's pretty sure what's right, and he wants you to believe that. But I also think he wants us to not be too judgmental over each other, and that we're not meant to subject authority over each other. Now, I guess Paul would say that he's not subjecting himself over anybody else, but God has chosen him. Christ has called him to share the revelation of Jesus. So it's not his authority, it's God's. And I get that. Sitting in the third row listening to him, I don't know if that makes a difference to me. But I see how it might make a difference to Paul. But I take that and I remove it from Paul. And I remind myself. Not that we don't have different roles to play and different responsibilities and different experience. We don't all live in a YouTube world where anybody gets their 5 minutes and can speak with great authority and we're all supposed to believe them. No. We live in a world where some people are more qualified to opine. Some people are more experienced and therefore should lead. That is a reality for me. That's how I see the world anyway. But just because you're a leader doesn't make you better than me, the follower. Leaders are nothing without followers. Just because you're the fifth person to follow doesn't make you better than the person who took a little while longer and is the 15th person to follow. Oh, I knew first. I'm an early adopter. That doesn't matter. The word that we use here, be subject, again, I know we love a Greek seminar, Norm, please give us more. Note, I'm not pulling words up in diagrams and stuff, but I will tell you to be subject, the word you used by Paul is the kind of word you use in the military, right? So, you as a member of the infantry, I'll just, you are subject to what your soldier, what your sergeant says, and the sergeant is subject to what the lieutenant or lieutenant, is the way I'd put it, but anyway, says, who is then subject to the captain or the major or the, like, there is a hierarchy, there is a chain of command, you follow orders down, and that's basically what he's talking about. Then when he talks about being subject, right, he's talking about ranking. Not about listening to each other, but ranking. So don't rank yourself above anybody else. Okay? When I produce a Sunday service in my church, I am the primary liturgist. I am the person who does that. So if my music director and I don't agree on something, okay, my decision is the one that will decide what we actually do on a Sunday. So I because that's my responsibility. Does not make me better than my music director. Does not make me more important than my music director. None of those things are true. We respect each other and we work together, but we also recognize that there are roles for us to play. So if somebody from my from our choir came to me and said, I have a real problem with the music director, will you fix that? My answer is, no, that's not my job. That's between you and the choir director. I let my music director deal with all the things that for which she is responsible. And in turn, she allows me to do the things for which I am responsible. Neither of us is better than the other, right? So we are subject to each other. But we each have different responsibilities. So I think that's important because sometimes we go through and we will judge certain responsibilities and therefore think that we are better. And I say that thinking about the number of times that I have sort of been in a restaurant, usually an expensive restaurant and been with people who treat the staff of that restaurant, from the server right through to the chef, as lesser people. Your job is to make me happy. The customer is always right. Okay, I fundamentally don't believe that. The customer is not always right. Sometimes the customer is an idiot. But if I'm going out for a dining experience, I don't lose respect for the people who are serving me. I realize in this context, they have a role to play. And I have a role to play. And tomorrow, they might come to my church, and now I might be serving them. And so I will take on that role. We are people. We are children of God, is how I would see it. Each of us can be filled with the Spirit, if we want to use, with Paul. So the idea that we shouldn't be subject to one another, for me, just means that we shouldn't rank ourselves according to our jobs or according to anything, actually. But we may take on different responsibilities within the community or within the moment based on our gifts or experience. I'm prattling on now. So you know what? I'm going to give it a rest. I'm just going to leave it with you now and let you play around with that. I didn't really think much about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. And maybe there's some more to be done there. I do find it interesting that he says sing psalms. For me, psalms very much belong in Hebrew scripture. And Paul has been kind of suggesting in other letters and a number of places that we don't need that anymore. We've moved on from that. But is Paul rethinking that? Do we misunderstand what Paul said before? Are there different types of... I don't know. That might be worth wondering about. But I think I'm done for now. So let me offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to live in the light. Thank you for the ways that our wanderings bring light into our lives and share light with others. God, let us live the balanced lives to which we aspire, where we are not afraid of letting go, where we are not afraid of embracing you, where we are not afraid. God, in our wandering today, may your word emerge and may we hear it. May we hear your voice and may we follow it. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's enough for me today. Have a great weekend, will you please? Have a wonderful weekend and find some time for recreation. Find some times to take advantage of. Like, just don't miss out on the times that might actually change your life. Build your faith. And be aware that you, just by being you, might also be pivotal in someone else's time, someone else's opportunity to grow in faith, to change their lives. So please know that you are blessed, which means that God sees you and loves you. But more than that, that God's love moves through you into the world and puts you out there so that people's lives are changed because of you. You make a difference. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. God bless.